We're ending the series. I told you last week, our series on triumph over trouble, that I think there was one more, and there indeed is one more. And I want to have a little sharing. First of all, we talked about 6 weeks ago about starting to make a list of troubles, because if you don't know what your troubles are, you can't do much about them, and it's good to be able to do the rest of what we've talked about over those 6 weeks. By the way, I want you to know how sharp Chris is. Somehow, I had this microphone tucked in my shirt, and he turned up the volume enough for you to hear me. So thank you, Chris, for your abilities. And speaking of problems, we had problems, as we often do this morning, but they just seem to be bigger problems with electronics. That's a place where we have troubles in the church. So I'm curious about the genre of places you see trouble in your life. So not the specifics particularly, but like an area. I'll start you out with this. We see troubles at work. There can be lots of different troubles with work. It can be with bosses. It can be with coworkers. It can be with the task at hand. It can be with time. What other genres do you where you experience trouble? Communication, okay.
Gets lost, misconveyed, not clear.
Okay.
I want a tire swing when I want
a pony. Oh, okay. Where else have you experienced troubles in that kind of genre, that topic sense?
Health
troubles, and the older we get. Comes out of left field. What's wrong with you today? I don't know, I slept. That's what's wrong with me today. That's why I hurt. Where else do we find troubles?
An older home.
Oh, okay, so like the falling apart of an older home, attrition. That goes across a lot of subjects. Yeah, okay, what else?
Vehicles.
Yeah, uh-huh. So my health was affected by our last vehicle trouble as I had to roll around on the pavement fixing her car. So they cross over too. There's an alignment, if you will. What other places do we see trouble? Oh, look at that. And they didn't consult, but mom and dad had the same issue. Parenting, yeah. Finance, yeah. Okay, unexpected, I don't know if you'd call weather a natural disaster. It can be, but yeah, right. We have lots of places where we have trouble, and we've been talking about the fact that there's something to do in trouble, and God can lead us through that. Our first series verse was John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're able to say categories, and if we had more time, you'd be able to tell me the specific of child rearing or of health or of finances, other kind of relationships. To me, that's such a broad category, and that includes communication and so many other things. So we defined early on in this series what we're talking about, because sometimes we can call trouble something trouble that really isn't. It's just something that I don't want. Trouble was referred to in two ways. This is from week one, pressure against you, and suffering. And that is that you feel the pressure against you. And that's kind of where we jumped off into this study and this journey together. And we also, I say we, assuming that you agree with me, that we would call trouble roadblocks to peace. That's really what we're seeking at is peacefulness and peace in our lives and things that, you know, go according to what's best. And of course, that's subjective too. But our second series verse is Romans 8:28, which gives us the hope and the perspective we desperately need. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And there is like the, so God sees these troubles and he's bringing good things from them, even though they're troubling to us. So what we've been doing the last 5 weeks is talking about how to process trouble when it happens. And it's legitimate, man. We need to know that. We need to remind one another. And you know, it just takes time. I had to work through my process this morning. I was mad at our stupid equipment, and I had to work through that so I could worship. But what if there were fewer troubles to even process? Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know, we're going to have troubles, but what if there were fewer? What if there was something we could do to cut down on the kinds of trouble that we face? Well, that's what today is about. That's why week 6 is entitled Problem Protection. Because while we can't clearly eliminate problems, and in a matter of fact, as we've discussed, God filters and allows problems on purpose to form us. We talked about 4 different ways that God uses trouble, and you can look at all of that online at our website, lfmchurch.net. And so we're going to look at what the deal is with this. Can I cut down on the troubles that come into my life? There's some I can avoid. I'm here to tell you, yes. So first, if you have a handout, number 1 is the promise. There's a promise God makes about this issue. He doesn't phrase it in the way that I phrased it, but what he talks about shows us that it's true. I actually have 3 different verses here, or sections. There's tons of them. I got to tell you, there's tons of them. So from Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Now, if you're a circler or an underliner, or you mark and things like that, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. One is that there are joys for followers of God. When you speak about trouble, they seem opposite. Now, they're not always, and we've talked a little bit about that, but there are joys for those who follow him. He also says, the psalmist, they have all they need, and he ends this little passage with, they lack no good thing. If you have all good things, you have fewer troubling things, even though we're going to have trouble, even in the best situation. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now think about that when you're in traffic. We went to a thing at Clio, a next gen, how to reach the next gen, what they're looking for, and one of the presenters coming from Oakland down by Pontiac was late because of the ice storm, and she was in a traffic jam. And I imagine she had to think, okay, all my needs, in her mind, her needs were to be on time at the place where she was supposed to be a presenter, but God had something in mind to help her. And right there at that moment in the traffic jam, all her needs are still there, even though there's trouble. That's something we have to take time to wrap our heads around and pray about. And then Peter said this in 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He says we can have fewer troubles because of who he is. And we're still going to have trouble. Jesus told us that. We need to remember that. We need to rehearse that for when trouble comes. And by the way, if you have the moment where you feel you've been abandoned by him in the trouble that came, it's okay to say that. He knows your heart, and he needs to lead you out of that. It feels like that sometimes. I just ordered a new computer because mine finally got so slow. So there's lots of money involved in that, right? I get it. I'm downloading my programs, and I get a message. The computer cannot communicate with the battery. So when I get back from our little birthday trip that starts later today, then I got to probably send it back. And you know, you have to go, Lord, I've been very careful. I've waited so long. Why'd you let this happen? It's okay to say that. If you don't say it, you have a tendency to park on it. If you just internalize it, when you say it, it helps. So, okay, that was a little extra one. So we've been talking about what to do with problems hit, and today we're talking about how to reduce those problems. So just out of the feedback we had, some genres of places where you've had trouble, relationships and communication and work and vehicles that break down and old houses and all sorts of things, the list can go on and on. Just want to look at what God offers us in some categories that can keep us from some troubles. This is just a sampling. In the Bible, there are 2,000 350 verses about money. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have hit financial troubles because you were irresponsible with your money? My first credit card ever, I was 23 years old. The limit was only 800 bucks, but I maxed that baby out in about 10 days because I wasn't following what the Lord says was wise use of money. But when we pay attention to what God says about money, and he knows it's big in our world because he's spoken so much, more than about love is money mentioned in Scripture. And if we find what God says, our perspective and our actions and our preparation should be where finances are concerned, we'll have far fewer troubles related to finances. They will still happen because this world is crumbling and decaying, and sometimes something happens, no matter your best planning, that's going to put you in a pressure situation. That's trouble. But there'll be far fewer when we do things God's way. But depending on the version, there are between 310 and 645 verses about relationships in the Bible. Marriage, friendships, accountability, sharing, business relationships and partnerships. The Bible has a lot to say about how we relate to one another on many different levels. If we approach our relationships out of what God says is the healthy way, the open and honest way, and let's be honest with some of the things that God tells us to do, like Matthew 18, where he says, if somebody has offended us, we go right to that person instead of gathering our friends around and getting our side all. It's way easier on the front side to vent your frustration with your friends. It's far more difficult to go to that person and say, I've been hurt by you. But the solution and the resolution of a relationship happens, can only happen that way, actually. I was going to say it's easier, but it only happens that way. Relationships remain broken if you don't. God talks about and cares about the relationships. He knows the work it takes to be in relationship. You won't have any relationship that you can just let coast and it's going to be great. You have to apply yourself in everyone. But when you do, you'll have fewer problems with relationships in this world. And so we're talking about how to deal with them. But man, what if we only had half of the amount of relationship problems, which includes communication, right? Yeah. There are at least 53 verses about physical and mental health in the Bible, about the value of exercise. Sometimes it's referred to kind of sideways as an example. There's verses that talk about the uncertainty of life and health and bones and afflictions and disease. There's 288 direct verses about God's presence, which addresses issues like loneliness and the need for companionship and getting into a relationship that might and in a marriage, to make sure you do that correctly. If we listen to those instead of take our own counsel, or worse yet, our friends or world's counsel, they get worse and worse as they go out, maybe. Although sometimes personal counsel is among the worst. The Bible talks about our wants. The Bible talks about our provision, that God is loving and wants to give us all. And these three verses under the promise talked about how he wants us to taste and see that the Lord is good, that he eliminates a bunch of problems. So I present to you, or remind some of you, I introduce it to maybe some others, that God wants you only to have the kinds of troubles that will build you up, and he will do that. But if we don't grab a hold of his instruction, his counsel, think of it as his arm around us, not as the judge on the bench pointing his finger and issuing rulings and judgments, because that's not who God is. So that's the promise. We can eliminate some of our trouble. Number two, the principle. How do you do that? Well, this is one of my favorites. I think I used this a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. I like that ending best. He will show you the path to take. Because it's on our journeyings, or at least for me, a path to somewhere is where I encounter my troubles. And there's an interruption between where I think I'm going and how I think I'm supposed to get there and the speed with which I would love to get there, which to me, it's like that, you know, like I want to be there. The principle is here in these two verses. This is probably among the first verses I memorized as an adult Christian. And it's one that crops up often, whether it's in the dark thoughts of the night or in my morning prayer or when I'm preparing or when some situation comes up. And especially when it's my own deal. Trust in the Lord. So this means, A, trust means to place full confidence in. Not just a half-hearted attempt, as we see Jesus reminded us of an Old Testament concept, really, that he brought to the forefront again. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That can be mind-boggling, right? Well, I'm not sure. Well, with as best as you can muster, you bring all of that to God, and you do that continually. Lord, I bring myself to you. I surrender myself to you. It's all of our confidence in who he is. He's the one who can take away certain troubles so we don't even see them. We don't even feel them. There's no pressure there anymore because we've followed him. And then the ones that remain, then what we've been talking about in these concepts over the last 5 weeks and now week six, we can put into place. I can't tell you how many times since last Sunday I've had to stop and go, dude, you better practice what you preach. This is what you said Sunday. Stop what you're doing. Think. Remember. Commit. Act. Some of the things we've talked about, and the burden gets lifted. I am telling you, it works. Anyway, and the second concept in this in verse 6 is to seek. It's interesting how the different versions use different words, but that's why there's a value in going to the original language when you have resources or you've taken those classes and know what to do. I've not taken those classes, so you know I have to dig into resources like all of us need to do. To seek his will in all you do, it means to know or to get to know. It's this concept of knowing or the process of knowing him. And in the process of knowing him, it's when our paths become clear. We trust and we seek the knowledge of him. The psalmist puts it, this is a perfect verse, right? Psalm 16, the first part of verse 4, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. And the truth is, in your life circle of experiences and thoughts and beliefs, you can have the majority of your focus on who God is, but you can have an area or two or maybe more, right? And sometimes that changes with circumstance, that aren't, and you're seeking other opinions or seeking other options or trying other things. Wherever you're not following him, your troubles will multiply in that area. Now that's helpful because if you see a particular batch of troubles coming in a certain area, that gives you something to say, Lord, is there something I'm holding back from you being the leader of? Is there something I've taken on myself and trying to solve myself? Is there something that I followed someone else or some other system, have I gotten away from you in that? So we have a promise here from the Lord that we can live a life of reduced troubles. Not eliminated troubles, we're going to have trouble, but reduced trouble. He has given us a principle, and by the way, this principle is repeated over and over in different ways all throughout his word. This is just one of the most succinct ways that the scripture puts, here's the deal, man. Don't get complex. Here's the deal. Trust, seek. He'll guide your path, or he will show you which path to take. So the procedure, how do I get to that? That's the last before we go into communion, actually, before we go into our worship time, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to do our worship, music worship time, then we're going to go into communion. So actually, the people I tagged to make sure Tony and her class come back in, go grab them right now, okay? Okay, thank you. The procedure, James 4, verses 7 through 10. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. This is kind of a counter, you know, message than we feel needs to be communicated. After all, the joy of the Lord is my strength, not tears, right? But you have to get to the joy of the Lord. It's taking seriously the places that we don't follow. Now, I just want to, you know, in verse 8 it says, wash you hands, you sinners. This is not a pointing finger of saying, I'm good and you're bad. It is a reality statement where God says to us, you have troubles in your life. You need to think about that. Something that came up in yesterday's seminar was that a lot of people do not have experience or knowledge in self-reflection. They said that was a church word or church phrase, self-reflection, but I don't know if that's true or not, but what that means is, in case there are people here who are outside of that self-reflection and you don't know what that means, it's really sitting down and taking stock of who you are. It's thinking about how you think and how you act. It's considering what you do and the results of what you do, and then thinking about what could be different. Where is there a difference that could be found in my life? And of course, you will always be directed to the resource of God when you come to our church, because he's our creator. He made us. He loves us just as we are. Even in the most troubled spot you might be, he loves you deeply. He's done everything he can to... He has done everything that was needed. Saying everything he can feels like I'm like saying he's not able. He's done everything for us to take care of the trouble that we have, the sin that we have. Sin simply means that we are not like God in that. It's a sin, missing the mark. It's an archery term. It's a shooting term. You can use it in a lot of different ways. If you put 3 cups of flour instead of 2 in the cake, you've missed your mark. And your cake, it's not going to be so good. I don't even know if I have the measurements right. So James tells us we need humility. It takes humility to say, I am not whole. I'm not wholly devoted to the Lord, completely devoted to the Lord. I have areas where I'm not even thinking about them, and I'm just going my merry way. It can be that. Or it can be the intentional drifting away. Here's what I underlined. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So the issue to challenge during the praise time at Clio in the afternoon. It was slated to go 1:30 to 3:30. It went to 4:30. And they had us come up to pray for someone in our lives. The person I prayed for is divided. And it's easy to look at somebody else and go, yeah, there's lots of divided people out there. The humility part is to say, there's division in here. There's things I haven't given over to the Lord. And the truth of this in relationship to our topic today is, and it's not the whole thing. Matter of fact, you shouldn't get stuck on this because it's almost like a reward system, but it's true when we need to think about it. When we submit things to the Lord, we have fewer troubles in the things that we submit. We like to quote, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But first, we humble ourselves before God. And then, the devil will flee when we resist. So verse 8 says, come close. Come close to him and he will come close to you. So as we move into our music set, and I think, did you get your mic? Okay, Tony's going to come up, band's going to come up and get ready to sing. We're singing three songs this morning. And so it says, my move, in the bottom of your handout. It might say it up there, yeah. You have a move to make. It needs to be related around this, come close. I can't define it for you, because you know where you need to come close. You know what lies outside, and you will experience more troubles than God ever wanted for you when you let your leadership take his place, or your friend's leadership, or another group. Don't follow me, don't follow LFM Church, follow the God we profess. Follow the God we're trying to accurately portray. So the three songs are In Christ Alone, Your Grace Finds Me, and I Surrender. If I would have thought of three songs to tell Karen to pick, it might have been these three songs. But she picked them when she made up the schedule. That's how God works. Do you want the fewest amount of troubles? And all the resources to face every trouble that comes your way with confidence that God is doing something good? Whatever you have to bring, bring. Bring here at the altar, bring there at your seat as we sing this together. If you need to drop out of singing, their instruction for us as we worshiped in Clio last week was last week. Lay on the floor if you need to. Walk if you need to. I actually spent some time walking. The Lord speaks in a certain way when I'm walking and praying. Come close. Commit these areas where you're not following to him. And then connect with us so we can help. We need one another to be able to walk this road because it's counter to the world we face every single day. Obey God. Stand and join us as we sing together.